Vicky talked about the Soul Matters theme for the month of May is blessings, or blessings as a part of the overarching question, what does it mean to be a people of blessing? And many of you are saying, what's this Soul Matters theme? Well, it's materials, it's sort of like having a lectionary, really, where each month we have readings and reflections around a theme. And all that material is available on the website. Just look for Soul Matters and click on it. It only takes, I see somebody, Robin, it only takes like 15, 20 minutes to go through it. And it has little exercises for you if you want to choose one for the month. It has questions to reflect on for the month. It has really nice poems and words to inform you. And when we talk about blessing the world, we're going to talk a little more about that. But one of the biggest things we can do in this busy world is make space for that depth which connects us with real, textured life. And this is 15 minutes. That's all I'm saying. You don't even have to spend it at once. You can just go there and do it and do five, you know, or a page or two. And I realize the need to talk like that because I live it in my own life. So that's just what I'm sharing. What does it mean to be a people of blessing? The introduction to those readings and exercises begins with something a facilitator said, and he wrote, I guess after plan A fails, I need to remember there's a whole alphabet. It's not just our friend who needs help remembering that there's a whole alphabet out there. It's all of us. We all get stuck in wanting things a certain way, and if they don't go that way, then it's a failure. We all at times focus so intently on the few things going wrong or that we think aren't going right, both outside ourselves or in our own actions, that we completely miss the dozens of things that are going right. Tunnel vision, they say, is too often takes over our days, and then we miss the dozens of things going right. For our Unitarian Universalist faith, this is the central tragedy of the human condition. We respect those who frame our problem as sin and tainted souls, but it's nearsightedness that our religion is most worried about. For us, a life of blessing is less about securing eternal reward or forgiveness. It's more about widening our view and then living into that wider view. And there's a lot at stake, the introduction says, when it comes to this wider view, and I would say our practice of it. When the world seems stingy to us, we are stingy to others. That's the take home. When the world seems stingy to us, we are stingy to others. Those who feel blessed have little trouble sharing blessings with others. Our tradition takes this calculus seriously. As Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Don Wheat puts it, the religious person is a grateful person, and the grateful person is the generous person. So when we say, blessed be, we are. The couple of times that I've shared that this month's theme is blessing, I've heard back some version of sort of like this and goes, I have trouble with that. I'm not sure where to go with it, the person will say. And that's at least partly because blessing is closely associated for them with God and a particular notion of God. A blessing is something given by God or a representative of God. Blessing seen in this way is a church word. It doesn't have to be that way. Feeling blessed and being blessed doesn't have to reside in the control of a giver, nor is it completely situational. It can be part of our own experience and framing. It can be how we move in the world. It can be cultivated and nourished by our own practice. We can actually feel it around us and in us. As I tried to make clear in my Beacon column, I don't want to imply that a life of blessing is all in how a person thinks about it. A blessing is a beneficial thing for which one is grateful, something that brings well-being. Yet we know life brings things for which we cannot be grateful. illness, unless we're in the Course in Miracles, you know, and then we kind of figure out. Anyway, that's an aside. There are things for which we cannot be grateful. Illness, pain, loss, fear, want, cruelty, oppression, injustice, circumstances of birth, the pieces of a broken world that we see in and around us. But blessing is something that brings well-being, or in which well-being resides. There is a giftedness in a sense of blessing, whether we identify a giver or not. We can, in that moment, experience appreciation, gratitude, even that broader sense of right relationship that we seek, even if we cannot articulate it. We yearn for it, but there it is. Not just as giving out, but within us. If something is felt to be a blessing, that it's not just taken for granted, appreciation then makes it less a thing or object, less a commodity or something to have, and more a relational connection. It brings it more in the circle of my care and embrace. Spiritual theologian Matthew Fox shares the ancient tradition of creation spirituality, and it begins with the notion of a universal blessing that is life and informs life. He said we should honor all of creation as original blessing. As distinct from what? Original sin. Feel the difference. And by the way, he was a Catholic priest. For those of you recovering Catholics in the room, he was excommunicated for this work. Original blessing as distinct from original sin. It makes a big difference to think that we began in blessing, live in blessing, rather than began in sin and live in sin. Hear the difference in the words in Einstein's reading about how you feel about the universe and what it leads you to do as a result of that choice. I would say that Fox is a theologian in the universalist tradition. I think that if Unitarian Universalists had priests, he could be one. But he's an Episcopalian now, so. The first principle of creation spirituality is universalist. It says the universe is fundamentally a blessing. We experience the universe with a sense of wonder and awe. Fox uses God language for the second principle in a way that is accessible to most of us. In creation, God is both immanent and transcendent. This is panentheism. You don't have to remember any of these words, but it's the next line. This is not theism, God out there, and not atheism, no God anywhere. It's that sense. We experience the divine in all things. Blessing. Blessed. Now, I know you're going, I don't believe in God, or I do believe in God, or what does he mean by divine? And if he uses the word holy, what is that all about? But just have the feeling of the shift between God out there giving something, God nowhere, there being nothing but objects, but just moving into the space of, there's something here that we're a part of. Original blessing, even if you don't deal with the giver, it's life as a gift. We've been talking about creation and a generous, giving, inclusive universe in ways that overlap with all of this. Every one of us, he says, is a mystic, an artist, a prophet, and we should live our lives as such, living into and from this blessing, living as if it were real. And then this principle of creation spirituality follows. Our prophetic work, that is what we are to do in the world like that, is to interfere with all forms of injustice. Interfere with all forms of injustice. And that which interrupts authentic life. That which interrupts authentic life. We don't have to wait for a cause. We can do prophetic work over and over and over again in the choices of our daily routine. how we interact with the people we come in contact with, how we interact with the people we love, how we eat our meals. From our rushing and hurrying to the ways we choose to distract ourselves and zone out, we can make different choices. All that which interrupts authentic life. What a good and challenging and useful phrase and guide. To guide what? Our choices for life. Choose to bless the world. I'll skip this. The Soul Matters materials list several spiritual exercises, or I would say practical exercises, as in let's practice to choose from. Psychologist and author Rick Hansen writes that scientists believe that your brain has a built-in negativity bias, so that we go to the negative, so we have to pay attention in order to appreciate the positive or the blessings. They say it takes five times as many positive or good experiences to make up for a single negative one. In effect, the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones. So you're saying, what do I do? And he says, it's like sitting down to a meal. Don't just look at it, taste it. Just take that as one moment. Lunch could be different. Odds are it won't be. You'll get distracted and you'll eat it and it's just calories and you forget what the heck it was. But take that moment before rushing on to the next thing. Experiencing a life of blessing can be as simple and difficult as choosing authentic life. In her poem, Choose to Bless the World, Rebecca Parker tells us, you must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? The question once posed is unavoidable. We are live, and what we do with our lives, our actions, form our answer, whatever else you say. It is our habits that speak our values. You can say what you believe, but it is your habits that say what you believe. Our actions form our answer, whether intentionally or not. You do have a choice, Parker says, for good and for a good life. So choose to bless the world. In light of what we've just said, let's hear her poem again. And I know you're going, Jim, I just heard this. Don't say it over again. Seriously, modern thought. Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, your gifts can be used to bless or curse the world. Every moment, the mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting, any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love all the time. Any of these can do the other things. Obscure what is holy. Comply with injustice. Comply with injustice. That's by making the choice to do nothing. That's complicity with injustice. Withhold love. That's by making the choice not to give love. You're withholding it. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. Because I would say in the modern world, just going along is and may be a curse. It certainly tends toward actions that interrupt authentic life. To choose to bless the world can do this. More the choice will draw you into community. It will actually draw you into that which you seek and which you are being drawn away from. The endeavor shared, community. The heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of life welcoming you. Choose to bless the world. None of us can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting. Waiting for what? It's waiting for the summary of our daily commitments. It's not waiting for Martin Luther King Jr. It's not waiting for the right presidential candidate. It's waiting for the summary of our daily commitments, our choices, moment by moment. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It's more than the rush of a cause and rightness. It's an attitude. It's a repetition over and over. When Jason said this morning, and I talked to him about the vibraphone, he said, "You just practice." As if it was, well, you just pick up those sticks and it's the same deal. It's no different. You just practice. You can't bless the world without practicing blessing the world. It's an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. They're always there. They're waiting for us to give them half a chance to come forward. Here's the piece. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. Think about Einstein's question. And while there is an injustice, anesthetization, or evil, there moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, a revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that which is sacred will not be defiled, insisting, urging us toward goodness and right relationship. Those who bless the world live their life as a gesture of thanks in an attitude of gratitude for this beauty and this rage. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, a sense of blessing, as in a gift of well-being. Well-being, not well-doing, well-being. Not good-doing, just well-being. Choose to move into that blessing. Let's revisit very quickly the rally of 2 weeks ago that we held to speak to repeal House Bill 2, the bill that establishes exclusions for public accommodations, then prohibits cities and counties for passing any anti-discrimination laws that are different from the state, and then prohibits them from establishing minimum wage laws that are different from the states, and then specifically excludes lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people from non-discrimination rights. So let's do that. But where I'm going with this, it was not merely a social justice action, but it was a larger example of blessing the world and how it works, and then also blessing our individual worlds in the process, not as something we should do, not as something we had to do, but as good practice for good living. It's something we actually might look forward to and put on our calendar, just like a musician playing, or free beer at the brewery or something. I mean, seriously, check it off as something to do. We began with appreciation and inclusion, looking around and saying to everybody, look around at this gathering, just like we did this morning. Look around and say, thank you for showing up. And we felt it. We were laughing and looking around and shaking hands and greeting our neighbor in that moment. We felt it. One of the people said to me, I've never been to a rally before. What do I do? And I said, what did I say? Just show up. Choose to bless the world and show up. This also where you hear that we were there making a statement for inclusion, inclusion of transgender people in those that we care about, in those that we connect with. And I also shared that in that moment, in that awareness, I actually thanked the sponsors of the bill for awakening me from my sense of, oh, yeah, I'm right in that, you know, to an awareness of I'm going to put forward my action. And I made a promise that we would be offering Transgender 101 course here. We would be doing our work here as a congregation. So downstairs, I'm going to be here with a clipboard, and I want you to sign up on the clipboard and then check off your preferred time to have that. Day, evening, weekend, weekday, particular one if you want it. And I talked to Joff Jones, and Joff will also present during part of that as well. I also said, I apologize to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, because after the passage or the ruling that established marriage equality, I just went, oh, well, things are good. That doesn't have to be a priority. It doesn't have to be on my front burner anymore. And I said, I'm sorry for that, because that's how this kind of got there. And so we'll make that connection to work again. What I'm saying with this is, in each of those moments, I felt connected. I felt the connections. I felt like it was right living. It was the way to be in community. It was the way to be in Hendersonville. And we looked around. It was what Hendersonville should look like. And there it was in the public square, all of us together. Creation spirituality principle said, diversity is the nature of the universe. We rejoice in and courageously honor the rich diversity within the cosmos and expressed among individuals and across cultures, religions, and ancestral traditions. How do you choose to bless the world? It can be as simple as showing up. It can be as simple as showing up to yourself in the next hour for something that you've been putting off, or that you're thinking, I should do this, but I'm in a hurry. I really can't. Or it can be choosing to show up at a rally. It can be choosing to show up for the free beer and the community and the music. I made a promise and an apology, and we are going to keep it. So now let's bring the blessing of the world back to us, to you and today. Remember that poem that we were welcomed by? Jan Richardson says, there is a blessing that meets you in love right now. It should be noted that this blessing has come today, especially to tell you it is crazy about you, that it has been in love with you forever, that it has never not wanted to see your face, not a face, it has never not wanted to see your face, to go through this world in your company. This blessing thought it was high time it told you so, just to make sure that you know. Blessed be.